Blog Talk Radio.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
Everybody, it's Monday night, and that means it's time for the Constitution Hour. I'll be your host, Ron Golden, and I see we have some familiar friends in the chat room, so I want to give a shout out to my good friend Rod Luke and Brian from Mortgage Audit Service and Miss Linda Sills with Right from the Left Coast, all Patriot family members, of course, and all of our listeners out there. just a friendly hello. You know, been a lot of stuff going on in the news of late. None of it seems to be any good, unless, of course, you're here in this country illegally, or you would like to see the right of the people to keep and bear arms not simply infringed, but completely annihilated. And yet, no one is actually discussing the fundamental problem that is fast approaching, like a freight train. That would be our monetary policy. I hate to say it, but it's getting much closer. Perhaps closer than even I had first anticipated. In watching the markets, it's almost as if today we have seen a decoupling, if you will, of the dollar and crude oil and gold and silver. Interestingly enough, I was just reading an article, and the bankers have to be somewhat in a panic. And I say have to be somewhat in a panic because, in spite of the manipulation that is ongoing in the commodities markets of gold and silver, we saw in the last week and culminating again yet today, there has been a dramatic downturn in the spot price for gold and silver. Despite that downturn, the new contracts, that is, people purchasing contracts or futures contracts for gold or silver, did not, as you might expect, decrease. They increased in spite of the fact that we had a price fall. And we've been seeing a price fall for better than a week now. Yes, there's been a few little fluctuations, just like what's going on right now in Asian and European trading. Gold and silver are up, but only marginally. We're talking less than one percentage point. So you have a fall of over 1% a day for a week. And what do people do? Do they sell off their gold and their silver, worried that the price is going to continue to fall, so they want to get out of the market before they lose it all? No. What we see is people said, hey, it looks like a bargain at this lower price. I think I'll buy some more. Well, that has to be just frustrating the hell out of the bankers, those people that are running these large gold contracts. We've seen of late the Bundesbank in Germany has reluctantly begun the process for what they're calling the repatriation of Germany's gold. But interestingly enough, the process will take 7 years. 7 years, ladies and gentlemen, for the central bank in England and France and the United States to load up Germany's gold bars and get them back to Germany, back into the Bundesbank, where they belong. Why do you suppose it would take them 7 years to load up a physical commodity? I mean, my goodness, we've all watched the movies and seen the things on television, the advertisements and whatnot, where you see these cages in the bowels of the world's most powerful financial institutions, these cages full of gold on pallets. And it would seem a simple enough process. They wheeled them in to these gold vaults on pallets. They didn't seem to have any difficulty getting the shipments through the door down into the dungeon and scurried off out of sight. Why should they have any difficulty in reversing the procedure and sending Germany their 340 tons of gold? Well, the answer is pretty obvious, isn't it? They don't have it. Whoops, sorry. Yeah, we kind of found that out a while back, but we're still keeping an eye on it. We got a paper receipt for your gold, and we can get it back anytime we want. Right. Well, now I see that the people in Switzerland are pushing a petition. They need 100,000 signatures to force the Swiss bank to repatriate their gold. Now, anyone that's been paying attention to the financial markets and the news abroad will know that countries like China, India, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, well, they've been buying up gold. I wonder why. The why is because they don't trust the central bankers. And why should they? Have they honestly been given a reason to trust these people? No matter how big the bank is or how small the bank is, based on current banking laws, there is not a thing in the world to keep the banks from robbing people blind, which is precisely what's been done. We're just simply waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm reminded of what occurred in Argentina a long time ago. And the collapse in Argentina that came about in the early 2000s. We're in trouble. Big trouble. The biggest difference between Argentina and the United States is perception and saturation in the market. You see, by perception, I mean the U.S. dollar is the world reserve currency. So, while Argentina's troubles were localized in Argentina, because they did have an enormous economy, to be sure, but their money wasn't being exported around the globe like the U.S. dollar is. When it comes, and come it will be a day of reckoning in this country like the world has never seen. And I'm going to bring up Mr. Robert, and I believe I've got Mr. Brian on the line here as well, twice.
I'm on
Brian,
there twice.
How are you, sir?
Am I on your call board twice?
Yeah, same number, though, so it's okay. Don't hang up or they'll both disappear.
Right on. Okay.
Am I saying, hey, Brian?
Hey, bud, how you doing?
Hey, I haven't heard your voice in a while.
Yeah. So, I was calling in because you just kind of hit a note that I was really wanting to talk about or bring up later or some point in time to somebody in a show. So, the other day, I was involved in a big little sort of get-together with a bunch of individuals and didn't realize really in some hand who I was hanging out with. Due to another associate of mine, and the one girl, her name was Marilyn, and she happens to be quite the banking financial wizard. Apparently, she actually is specialized in writing provisions in the creation of state aid, state-owned banking systems. And when I say state-owned, not sanctioned or not, you know, created by some individual calling it a state bank. It is an actual state bank owned by the people that live in the state, not, you know, controlled by outer government. And apparently, North Dakota, in all 50 states, is the only state to have its actual own individual state bank.
Is that North Dakota or South Dakota?
Maybe it's South Dakota. Maybe it's South Dakota. You know what? It might be South Dakota. I think it is South Dakota. So, under those provisions, apparently, in her diggings and findings and so on, and I guess, with that being said, are in apparently by no means in any real financial turmoil, I guess. Their position as financials apparently are off the charts, because she's constantly monitoring their, I guess, their performance level over there. And they've never had to file bankruptcy, unlike other states. The money that goes into the banking system, if you're a member of the state bank, goes back into the pockets of the people that live there versus, you know, the other traditional bullcrap government controlled and ran and blah, 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 Wall Street banks. So with that being said, of all the states, they are technically apparently the only one under constitutional, I think it was a constitutional thing, but under financial rights and so on, they are the only state in the 50 that could succeed from the nation.
Hmm.
Because of that. Because they have their own financial independence already. They don't rely solely on government contributions, because their money filters back into their own pockets through their banking system.
You know, it was interesting because my wife and I were having a conversation today, and I've come to the conclusion that every government, every single one of them that has failed for fundamentally the same reason, whether or not they recognize that reason. Certainly there's been a myriad of different effects, but I think the underlying reason, when you actually look at it, I think the fundamental flaw in every government, regardless of whether it was communist, you know, Marxist, democratic, or some mishmash of the above, is because government seeks to control the value of the unit of currency. The moment that a group of men get together and say, our currency, this coin right here, is going to be valued at X.
Right.
Okay? Whether it's gold, silver, nickel, platinum, copper, or cow chips, doesn't matter. What matters is that they try to fix the value. Instead of allowing the marketplace to determine the purchasing power of the currency, the moment you do that, you create this big monopoly. And, I mean, we've seen that here.
Right.
And then it's a race to see who controls that monopoly. That's
right.
The coup de grace. That's the pinnacle. That's the peak of the pyramid, so to speak.
Yeah. Well, Marilyn is saying what she's doing is trying to get banks to step up and recognize what she's done South Dakota. As far as, you know, guides and functionality, because, you know, that's kind of really sad, if just knowing that, you know, Texas is always barking up a storm, we're going to succeed and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, if it has to do with financial ability or financial stability has to be definitely considered in that before it would ever happen. And it's just wild that, you know, I thought, you know, that South Dakota would only be able to be the only financially able to do that because of what they've created. I mean, they got a bank that, you know, a banking system. You have to live there to be a member of it.
Right.
I mean, you know, I've got another bank.
For my two cents, okay, and I hear what you're saying, that would be the perception of things. But in all honesty, if we really step back and look at the financial stability or lack thereof in the United States, the only thing in any country that lends any credibility to any form of money they want to use, whether it's paper or debt-based or electronic or gold and silver, is the willingness and the ability of the people of that country to labor and produce and
right.
be productive. Because, after all, the only actual true wealth that is created is done through the physical production of someone expending time and effort. So I would say that every state in the union is financially viable based upon the people that live and work in those states.
Oh,
you know,
sure,
they have
right.
a product, they
right.
have a commodity, that the people. And,
oh,
and
right,
I think
exactly.
I think that is what really, you know, I think we've got to get beyond the idea, and I'm not scolding or anything here, and I'm not trying to call you out, but it's one of those things. We have to get beyond the idea that we have to have money, U.S. dollars or otherwise, to survive.
Oh, right. Oh, definitely. I mean, it's, well, my whole point was that, you know, speaking in the view of a sheeple, I should say, somebody that's, you know, a follower versus, you know, somebody that's going to go out and try to bust their hump for monopoly money, which anybody in our, you know, our group would obviously not go and do. But, you know, let me see what's the word I'm looking for. I done forgot. But I guess, you know, to somebody that's unknown of what's exactly going on.
It sounds to me like what you're saying is they are situated to make a transition financially that
right.
other states wouldn't be able to do.
Right.
To transition
yeah.
off the dollar and into a local currency.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
It would be more of a, you know, well, if we're going to entice people over by dollars, you know, the value of a dollar symbol or something to that effect, you know, they're going to be the ones to first probably pull it off.
Yeah.
And or one of the first of few, I guess, depending on how everybody else maybe models after them or something to that effect. But, you know, it just watching the gold market, I was just looking again. I didn't catch the market yesterday or today until just now when I was looking. And I didn't realize platinum dropped as much. Yeah, I mean, it's only $10 more than $10 more than gold. And
well, that's because they're worried that Obama's going to mint a $1 trillion coin, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to
yeah.
have to be a whole lot bigger, you know, if platinum values keep dropping. I mean, honestly, platinum is more of a industrial metal than it is,
right.
you
well,
know.
Well, a lot of people use it for a catalyst. So
sure. Oh, yeah, it has to be. It's absolutely necessary in catalyst. It has platinum has a unique ability, platinum and palladium. It has the ability to store oxygen, and it releases that oxygen when it's heated up. And that's
right.
why they use it in catalytic converters.
Right.
Being in the automotive business, I understand why.
Yeah, I was doing the scrapping thing, and we were ripping apart a furnace, we found a 4-foot run of a platinum line. And let me tell you, it was Christmas early, and that one was in platinum was 2,000 and you know an ounce. So you know that was definitely, and there was and it really sucked because we were actually trying to get to this other line. It was a 22-foot long platinum line, but it was well, you know, wedged in between all these sheets of metal steel that we couldn't get to right away. So when that platinum line is still hanging in that furnace, nobody knows about it except for me and one other person. And that building ever catches on fire, you know where I'm going, because that kind of running platinum and that weight, I won't have to worry about too much anything for a while. I'll go wrap it up and stick it in a shoebox in a vault in the basement floor. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, I just, I was kind of watching a lot of the market stuff over here last day or so, or, well, prior to yesterday, today and yesterday. And the banks and IMF and all them boys, they're up to something kooky for sure. They're out to, they're making some moves. And
look, they're trying to scrape together anything and everything they can. They are trying to scrape together every cent that they can squeeze. It's just a matter of time. I honestly believe that, especially if you're looking at the financial markets, watching gold and silver, the commodities and oil prices. I think it's not long before we're going to eclipse $100 a barrel in oil again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been knocking on the door, but there's been so much currency volatility of late, a lot of manipulation going on that front, that I think it has worked to keep the commodity price on oil down, but I think that's going to be short-lived. That's just my take on the markets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's inevitable. Go ahead, Robert.
Oh, I'm just listening. It's, you know.
Okay. It sounded like you might have had a comment.
You know what it reminds me of? It sounds like there's a new gold rush coming in.
Well, the gold rush right now, I can tell you, is in ammunition.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thunk it? The king of the heap right now, as far as ammunition is concerned, is 22 long rifle.
Yeah. Look at what Uncle Joe Biden said. If you get a rifle, you're safer with a rifle than you are with anything else.
Well, you know, he's right, and I was going to touch on that in a little bit, but honest to goodness, 22 long rifle ammunition is almost as scarce as unicorn teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's absolutely...
You can't even get it here. There's nobody here that has it out.
Nobody's got it. They're out everywhere. I made a lucky score today. I went, did a couple of trades this afternoon, well, this morning and this afternoon, and my wife were 2 hours south of Atlanta, and there's a big Bass Pro Shop down there, and we stopped in, and of the massive aisle of ammunition, there was one lone box of 22 long rifle, 325 rounds, and I snagged that joker right up. It was the last box, and why it was still there is beyond me, but thank God it was. That stuff right now is like gold. I'm not kidding. I paid $26 for that box. I can turn around and sell it tomorrow for $65.
Oh, I bet.
Wow.
No question about it. I don't know if anyone has heard the latest scandal that may perhaps top Benghazi Gate. Don't know if anybody's heard of what's going on. Now, if you were paying attention last week or 2 weeks ago, there was a story, a blurb, that I heard on the radio on my way to work that evidently NATO had uncovered evidence that Assad, or whatever the hell his name is, over in Syria, had used chemical weapons against his people. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, evidently... A group of hackers over in England has successfully hacked into a English version of Blackwater.
Wow.
And what's being alleged is that they've intercepted emails in this hacking that shows, and they're only, what's posted in the link from what I could find is only one email, but basically they're talking about running a false flag by getting chemical weapons with the blessing of Washington into the hands of Syrian rebels to stage a chemical attack and blame it on Assad.
Wow.
That
boys and girls, is not your federal government walking guns across the southern border to blame drug violence on American gun owners. That eclipses the bar, I do believe.
Yes.
But I think at the same time, we go back and recognize, okay, Saddam used chemical weapons on his own people, and where did they get those from?
Supposedly Iran.
The good old U.S. of A. We supplied them with those chemical weapons. And what about the fact, okay, what about the fact of what Rand Paul was quizzing about the other day on Senator Kerry when he was talking about, forget about your, what you think of Israel, what your opinion is, mine included, doesn't matter. When you have the president of Egypt making comments that the Zionists and Jews are descendants of apes and monkeys and are worthy to be murdered or slaughtered, and Senator Paul's direct question to Senator Kerry was, in light of those comments, does this sound like people we should be sending F-16s and military aid to?
Right, yeah.
And of course, Kerry addressed the comments that they were reprehensible and so on and so forth, but he never answered the question. Yeah, we could all agree that they're terrible comments, great. But answer the question, do you think we ought to be sending frickin' F-16s, tanks, and money to these jackasses?
Muslim Brotherhood.
I mean, if it were a gun store here in the United States, here locally, and some guy came in and was talking about, yeah, I think all blacks are descended from apes and monkeys and deserve to be slaughtered. Hey, how much is that AR-15? I'll take one of those and 10,000 rounds. You got the stuff to convert it to full auto? Do you think that guy would be selling that guy a weapon? No.
No. Oh, definitely not.
But you see, that's the difference between a responsible American and our government. Our government isn't responsible to anyone. It's a force unto itself. It's a law unto itself. And it's not lead by example. It's do as I say, not as I do. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. I told Leonie this morning, I was lied to. I was born a communist.
Well, you can't help it. And not all...
But the thing is, what type of communist am I?
Only the Zionists and the Bolsheviks were communists, okay? And I don't think either one of those...
Brian, my God, I just... You know, Leonie got so upset this morning. She goes, isn't that a crock? The Pope.
Well, you know,
raising it one more penny, and he can't even afford a stamp anymore. You know,
here's the thing, and you know, Rod Luke and Bill Strong talking in the chat room that we are giving aid to our enemies. Well, that's true, but I think it actually is much bigger than that. And I want to encourage everyone listening
that letter
to go back, go to the United Nations website and pull up the United Nations Charter and read it. And what I want you to remember, we got to put our thinking caps on and actually focus for a minute, okay? So let's remember that the United Nations was formed after World War I, but it was called League of Nations. And when that failed, it was then reformed after World War II under its current form. But let us also remember that the agenda, the purpose, never changed. So read the UN Charter. And then I want you to take all of the military actions that the United States military has been involved in from the end of World War II until today, and lay that next to the United Nations Charter. And tell me where I'm going wrong when I look at these two and I see that the United States military is being used to enforce the Charter of the United Nations, which is worldwide disarmament.
That's what Obama did. That's exactly what he did. He bypassed Congress and did his own thing.
Let's think it through, because you know one of the things Ron Paul had campaigned on was bring our troops home. You know, that would pose a real problem for the United Nations and for NATO, wouldn't it? I mean, let's honest to God think about this for a minute and have the discussion. Put aside all the boogeyman terrorist crap and all the fear-mongering that goes on in the news to convince you that we have to have these strategic bases all around the world. Let's think about it from the aspect of the United Nations Charter. What happens when the United States pulls our military presence out of all these countries? Well, I can tell you what happens. Those countries immediately see a need for them to have their own military, a strong military, to defend their own nation, right? Oh, we can't have that. We can't have that because currently what we have is the United States having a military presence in Japan, all of Europe, most of the Middle East, and South and Central America. My God, if we pull out all our military presence, what happens to the utopian uniform worldwide disarmament?
Well, there's already going to be a disarmament because of the sequestration laws coming in with the $500 million tax cut across the board for the military. I mean, my God, that's coming in pretty soon.
I mean, let's make sense of it, Robert. Once you have established your military presence throughout the globe, you can then begin to cut military funding here at home.
Oh, right. Oh, definitely.
Right?
Because you got a monopoly everywhere else.
Projects here at home. And what that's going to do eventually is those nation states where our military presence is at, we might start hitting them up to kick in a few bucks into the kitty, right? And lo and behold, we have a world military that's run through the United Nations and NATO, and it's no longer under the control of the United States or any individual country.
You know what this reminds me of, Ron? This reminds me of a joke that I heard.
Babylon?
The joke goes like this. A neutron goes into a bar and asks the bartender for a drink. Do you know what the bartender said to the neutron?
What's that?
There's no charge for you. That's basically,
Well, you know, it's interesting, and the more I think about some of this stuff, and actually, I got to be honest. The more I have kind of gotten away from thinking about this stuff and kind of put my focus elsewhere, when I come back and even begin to focus a little bit, little nuggets kind of pop in my brain that I'm seeing connections and things are making more and more sense than they ever did before.
Oh, Oh yeah, it's like putting a puzzle. It's like putting a puzzle together. It's just like putting the pieces of the puzzle, the whole map, like we all did since I've been on with you guys. I mean, my God, I mean, of all the head beating and arguments and disagreements we even had, I mean, my Lord, I mean, it's just. I say to myself, why? What's the sense of just existing? I mean, you got something's got to run out sooner or later. You know, we are struggling, and everything's. I mean, I still don't know what I'm going to have to pay in taxes. I still have no clue. I have no clue whatsoever. None. I just did my paperwork and got it all together, and I'm just waiting for the shebango. You know?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the $2,000 cut of my salary. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yeah. Hey, I gotta get off here, Ron. I got a client calling, so
okay.
I'm gonna get to them and then I'll be back in.
All right.
Bye, Brian.
Take it easy, guys. See you, Rob. You too, bud.
Keep up the work, brother. All right, and that was one of our Patriot family members here, Mr. Brian from up in Illinois. Always good to hear from Brian. Just a good fella right there. And, of course, we still have on the line with us Mr. Robert Kaplan, our resident, our resident Orthodox
rabbi.
Floridian. No, you can't be a rabbi and eat bacon, Robert. Good Lord.
You don't think any rabbi on this earth has stuck a piece of bacon in their lifetime?
Well, you know, if they have, God bless them, because that's some good stuff. Do you know that they're actually marketing now bacon jerky? I'm sorry, guys, to digress into bacon, but man, you know, it's just good stuff.
It is good stuff. You never have potato salad. When Leonie makes potato salad, she fries up some bacon, throws the bacon inside the potato salad. And man,
look, everything's better with bacon. Even, you know,
it is.
Cake and pancakes. And we have Miss Linda Sills on the line from California. Miss Linda, how goes it?
Pretty good. Thanks so much for taking my call, Ron. Hi, Robert. Hello, gentlemen, and
hey,
everyone in the chat room. I used to watch Emeril Lagasse, and you're correct. Bacon, pork fat rolls.
Absolutely.
That's what he used to say.
I actually thought of you this afternoon. My
Why?
Wife and I, in my little travels, she went with me, and we were at the outlet malls, and there was a couple of wine glasses, and one said, I'm a Chardonnay girl, or I'm a Chardonnay, and the other one said, I'm a Merlot. And I thought, oh, Linda, that would be perfect for Linda.
Yeah, I'm not having any wine today, but possibly Wednesday we'll see, because I have a bunch of stuff going on in meetings and things. But so where do you see this going in the monetary and with, you know, with all these evil things that they're doing, not only with NATO and United Nations, but, of course, our own evil government? I don't know if you got the link of, you know, Schmuckface deciding that he wants to sell all of our national assets to the Chinese, and the Chinese telling him, well, you got to disarm the people first because we ain't coming in without it. So,
well, yeah, that's because they know their butts is cooked if they try it.
Yep.
But here's the thing, and this is, I think, you know, one of the things that gets lost in the shuffle of all the arguments and the various issues is no one's really asking the fundamental question, is you know, Bill X, Y, or Z, is that truly the proper role of a federal government?
Right.
That's first and foremost. But as far as where I see it, I mean, I'm not sure who sent me the email. I'll have to go back and look. It has been a while since I had seen the story.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, yeah. Okay. So it was my pops. But I would encourage everyone to go read the story of Argentina and how the collapse of Argentina was precipitated. And it was all monetary. There's a lot of great similarities between Argentina and the United States. And the most glaring one to me is the ideology of corporatism or British mercantilism.
Mm-hmm.
Argentina became great because of the British Empire, because it exposed Argentina to vast commercial enterprise, you know, the Industrial Revolution and commerce.
Mm-hmm.
But because we wanted to institute the communistic or fascistic, I should say, mercantilism system, the good old boys network, and then we get the free for everyone ideology gets into office, and eventually the whole damn thing collapses, and the
right.
people that get hurt the worst are the poorest.
Uh huh. Always.
Okay, they're the first ones to get hammered. And eventually it moves its way up the food chain to the middle class people. The wealthy people, it doesn't affect them because, let's face it, they have enough wealth to pack up their bags and get the hell out of Dodge.
Yep, and they do.
And they do in mass numbers. And there was a progression that occurred in Argentina, and the progression is always the same. And we're seeing that progression now. You know, you got all these wonderful programs, all these government-funded pension programs, and
mm-hmm.
then comes the point in time where we need more money to fund these programs. And, of course, more taxes are instituted, and
yep.
tax brackets and margins are instituted, and then it becomes, oh, it's those evil rich people.
God.
Let's tax the rich. My God, in this country, the second time that the income tax was instituted, that was the cry du jour. The battle cry of the day was tax
mm-hmm.
the rich.
And
of course, what inevitably happens is the bar that establishes the line between rich and middle class disappears.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they're doing that in California right now. I mean,
we're witnessing it right now.
Oh, my God. It's worse in the States because we have Il Duce in Sacramento. I can't stand him.
Well, yeah,
Brown.
I mean, you guys are getting a double flipping dose.
Oh, yeah. That's why my local guy here, Roger Hedgecock, who I think he used to be mayor of San Diego a few years ago. Anyway, he said, this was before the election. He says, if you people want to know what a second term of Obama looks like, he says, come here because we're living under it right now. That's exactly what's happening. And everybody has predicted, and I predicted this a year ago, that this is going to be a ghost state because people with money, and not people just in the news like Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, are bailing out of here like crazy. People that others don't even know about, because I think Mike Slater had a guy on and he says, yeah, I got an uncle up in L.A. or Tustin or whatever, and he says they're very wealthy, and they're going to Nevada. They're taking their wealth, and they're going to build a million-dollar home over there. And they're not dealing, because there's no state income tax there. I mean, Jerry just got the 13% tax, because these idiots here, they're so stupid with, you know, their heads in the wrong place, voted for it. I mean,
I don't
know
that Nevada's much better as far as the amount of liberal nut jobs.
That's true, but at
I
least
mean, you
they,
know.
They're not going to be, you know, raped and, you know, pirated like here, not anywhere near. You know, because a lot of the gambling pays for so much of their whatever they need there. People are going to Oklahoma, they're going to Wyoming, they're going to Texas, they're going to Idaho, they're going anywhere they can out of California. and it's going to hit the middle class because middle class is going to be squeezed out. In fact, I predict that the illegals will self-deport because
yep.
there ain't going to be nothing here for them. And then when the little Obama phone drones realize that they haven't got any money either and there's no money to take from them, it's going to be a mess.
I can tell you where those self-deporting illegals won't go. That's Oklahoma.
absolutely. Absolutely. No, I'm. Some of them will go back to Mexico because they'll realize.
I'm a firm believer that if you take a length of rope and tie it, I'm serious, if you take a length of rope and secure one end of it to a tree up high with the end of that rope dangling about 6 feet off the ground, eventually some progressive moron will come along and figure out how to fashion it into a noose and hang themselves.
Yep.
And that's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
And I am somewhat encouraged because finally, one of the things that we've talked about on this show and yours and others on the Patriot Family,
mm-hmm.
finally is beginning to surface. And that is state governments getting their sovereign legs back beneath them and
uh-huh.
beginning to stand up, albeit shaky and wobbly, it is. But
right.
they are beginning to assert their sovereignty
right.
and tell the federal fine. Government to
mm-hmm.
buzz off.
And pound it. Yeah, I know. I'm applauding everyone that's doing it. I think there's at least 5 to 7 states right now who have insulated themselves against any federal gun laws or gun bans. They're actually ticked off.
As they should be, because even the state, now we've gotten to the point where the state governments are getting enough pressure from the citizens.
Yes.
Okay?
Absolutely.
And that's exactly where it's at. And let me tell you, if there's one thing in this whole wide country that the people will not tolerate, it's another gun control law.
Yep. Everybody.
It is so well established that it, A,
yeah,
doesn't work, and B, is just an end-around assault.
Absolutely. They're taking away our individual sovereignty and our God-given human rights. We're born with nature's laws and nature's God, and we're not going to put up with it. And thank God there's enough of us who aren't going to, you know, and I mean, every single shop, every store, every gun outlet, every place, you go online, everything is back-ordered. I have to wait till February 22nd to get what, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, the guy in Michigan, my buddy, he said he went to like 3 or 4 gun shops close to his house. He says, it looks like they've gone out of business. There's nothing on the shelf. The guy says, we're trying, but the manufacturers can't keep up with it because the people know. And I believe that the 110 or 120 million folks who actually have this 300 million guns in their little hands, they know, and they're not libtards by any stretch.
You got that right.
You know,
that's
a blessing.
I watched a great film, just a brief documentary. It wasn't even a documentary. It was an instructional video that a doctor was giving for a class of students who were also doctors, but ongoing training. And they were talking, and this was from 2009, and he was talking about the effectiveness of guns for killing people. And in particular, those evil, nasty handguns. Okay? And what the doctor pointed out was that of all of the gun-related injuries for the year 2008, and there were just over, whether it was self-inflicted or otherwise, there was just over 36,000 or 35,000 gun
mm-hmm.
injuries, as opposed to 48,000 injuries from automobile accidents.
Right.
And what he pointed out to his students was that the automobile is a far more effective killing machine than is a handgun. And he showed the ballistics. And do you know that 76% of all the people that were injured in a handgun event lived?
Wow.
Whether it was an accident, whether it was on purpose or whether it was self-inflicted, an attempt at suicide, 76%
wow.
of all handgun victims lived.
Amazing.
So when we hear all these scary things and gun bans, the numbers just do not agree with the rhetoric.
Oh, I know. And they, of course, the libtards in the media, I don't think any of them have ever even seen a gun, let alone touched one. They're so, oh, and they just keep perpetrating the lies. That's what, you know, that's what makes me crazy. They just, and they talk about things they know nothing about. And they expect, well, they get a good audience because, you know, look what we have out there listening to them and actually sucking it up. See, the difference between you and me and the rest of the group that gets it, we don't believe these clowns. These poor saps out here with their heads in the sand, they believe it. And to me,
oh, sure. And they'll go on touting it. And you know, it just establishes that they don't have an original thought in their mind. They're just parroting.
Yes, exactly. It's like little mimics. I know. It's bizarre.
It's sad. But
I know.
Again, I've only got just a couple of minutes left. Boy, it goes quick. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night for Patriot Families Chat right here at 7, and then on Wednesday night for the lovely Miss Linda Sills right from the left coast. Then on Thursday night, Miss Terry Rowland with Patriot Education. And then is Michael doing a show now on Saturdays and Fridays, or... I'm not sure. Stay tuned with us, and then, of course, I'll be back here Monday for the Constitution Hour. And just, you know, keep up the fight. Let's keep our chin up, and let's not lose our composure and our integrity just because the other side has none. God bless everybody. Thanks for tuning in, Mr. Robert, Miss Linda. Thanks
Thank you.
For calling in. And we'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless.
God bless everyone. Take care.